Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Basically, it's about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub.
Bless him. Praise his holy name, the Almighty and Father. And we try to give you a bird's eye view so you can begin to take critical analysis and assessment, leaving no stone or leaf unturned, crossing every T and dotting every I to come to some firm conclusion. And once you come to that firm conclusion, get codified. What I mean by codified, everything in life has a code to go by. Even animals, even birds, even the waters, everything is codified in order for it to work properly. And in order to work properly with the Creator and allow his footstep to be your pathway so that you won't continue to lean to your own understanding, it's very important and imperative that you get codified. And you may be wondering, who are the people to help assist in your codification? Katria from New York City. He's one of the lead detective investigators. Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. She's one of the lead detective investigators. Sister Yakira from Hawaii. She's one of the lead detective investigators. Ezekiel from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's one of the lead detective investigators. And truth be told, so are you. Don't take our word for it. That's why you study along with us, you study before us, and you study after. Because redundancy is a good thing in this regard. But before we get into our studies, I don't have any contemporary comments today. But before we get into our studies, I'd like to congratulate Ezekiel for becoming a junior elder in the nation. I'd like to congratulate Katria and Sister Yakira for presenting a mating lunch show this past Friday. It was fabulous. Praise God. And I want to thank prematurely Sister Yehudi and Ezekiel for this Friday night to come. Praise our Father, the Almighty. And so, without further ado, no, I have one more public service announcement. This Monday coming, the show would not be airing. I have a personal matter to attend to. So all the lead detective investigators could take a day off. What do they call it on the job? Take a personal day. A lot of students will be taking a personal day on the 28th. And I suggest you take a personal day also. So without further ado, let me introduce to you one of the lead detective investigators on the show, Katriel from New York City. Katriel, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot, brother. Shalom.
Shalom. I bless y'all, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Most High bless you, and your family.
Thank you very much, Katriel. May he bless you and your family also, brother.
I appreciate that. How is your family? Yeah. You my good?
Yeah, they're doing okay, brother. I'm glad you asked. They're doing okay. What about yours?
Everybody's good. I know they had them storms down south that they were talking about.
And it's not
ready going through tornado season.
Yeah, don't seem like it's getting any better, Cartier. Don't seem like it's going to get any better. But thanks to Most High, we're here.
Yes. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
I just want to talk about the brother, Juwan Howard, that smacked the other white boy.
I saw that. I saw that, Katria. Yeah.
He must have said something out of his neck for that brother to reach over and try to slap him or slap him. But you know he can't be doing that. They're going to suspend him. You know, this is universal white racist supremacy. But they had coaches that went off back in the past throwing chairs and slapping players and things of that nature. I just wonder how severe this is going to affect his brother's career.
Exactly. Yeah, because that guy never should have grabbed him in the first place.
No, you're right. Put your hands on him, he could talk.
Right. Juwan was going to mind. He said, look, he could have said, Coach, let me holler at you later on after everything has calmed down. But you're going to grab me? Come on, man. Don't put your hands on me, okay? And I'm pretty sure Juwan said that, Contra. I suspect he did. Man, don't put your hands on me. You know what I mean?
Unlike Vladimir Putin, who's using aggression for no reason, just to stir things up, throw the world off balance. But I pray for peace. That's my prayer.
Me too, Contrail. Me too. All right, Contrail, let us bring on Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Well, shalom, my brothers. How's everybody?
Good. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Speaking about the basketball coach, what they're going to do is he won't be able to coach, I think, for the rest of the
season.
They heard both sides to it, so of course they got to settle it on what they call it, commissioners or what have you.
Right.
But you're right. He said it. I was watching. He said, and, you know, he's Detroit born or Detroit, you know, Detroiter, so I'm on his side.
Right. You don't put your hand on another man or woman, you know what I mean?
Right. Because until the laws, which we know aren't, but until the laws of this land is equal for all, we're going to continuously talk about the injustices. And then the second subject, right, from what I learned, there's a little area in the country of Ukraine that are Russian extremists. This is how they report it. They control a small area. And they had skirmishes, and a lot of people died in 2014-15. And it's being played up. And I said it was deeper than that. Of course I want peace. Because this can trigger other nations to get involved. And if you see on the map, they surround Ukraine on three sides. And I can't remember the other country that is next to Ukraine that is an ally of Russia. Now, what
Belarus.
Is the purpose? Belarus. Belarus, I believe, from what is reported, is for Putin, as you say. Now, what would be the purpose? If you got an area that is controlled, is it really the economics, the oil, the gas line that's going through? So it's layers. It's layers of what's going on. But like I said, we don't know. We don't know what the Most High has. It could be start of a World War III. Am I worried? No. Am I concerned? Yes, interesting as history. But I rely on the Creator. And that's what we're going to be reading about in Isaiah, too. He's the only one. So I thank you for the time.
Thank you very much, sister. Thank you very much.
Going back to my cheeseburger. Okay.
Okay, now. Enjoy. Bon appetit. Now, Ezekiel, will you raise your hand, please? Because you're not the only one from Detroit that's here tonight. Okay, there you go, brother. Okay. All right. Ezekiel, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot, brother. Shalom.
Shalom, my
dear. Hey, shalom, man. Shalom, elders. How y'all doing?
Okay,
you doing good.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm up. I'm awoke.
Okay, good.
With that, all our people are saying
Right. I'm doing good. Appreciate the what was done on Sunday. Talked with some other brothers and stuff, and chatted it up for about a good almost five hours. It was a beautiful thing and stuff. So, I'm just glad that I'm still, coming through with everybody and, meeting up with more of our people who, doing the same walk or striving to, I'm thankful for that. So, I don't know what's all going on with the stuff with Ukraine and stuff and what's, you guys are talking about this coach.
Yeah, Juwan Howard, the coach of Michigan Wolves, I believe.
Oh, okay. What was the issue with that?
He was walking past his white coach, and the white coach grabbed him. I guess gave him a few words, and I think Juwan took issue with it and became irritated, and the players had to separate him. Juwan reached over, tried to slap him, so, you know, I go.
Oh.
Juwan Howard.
Okay.
He was part of the Fab Five. Back in the day, he was part of the Fab Five. Went on to have a career in the NBA.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna have to stay linked up with all of this. Yeah,
not
it's just one thing after another. Okay, go ahead, Ellis.
I said not necessarily. That's just, you know, Grover's in captivity, trying to be part of Babylon, and they show that they try to act superior to us. They don't respect us as coaches or whatever. And I guess he felt disrespected.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely somebody put their hands on.
Right. Yep.
Well, as Katrina said, it's to be expected.
Yeah. Yeah. This system been failed. Flaws, privileges, all of that stuff is all going to come to an end soon anyway. It's all our people really need to, when you said open up, wake all the way up, open their eyes and just stop trying to, you know, do about bringing us all together. It's like what Martin Luther King said, you know, his last stuff talking about he believes he led his people, our people, into a burning house. So, we want our own stuff, you know, self-sufficient, create our own things, you know, create your own entertainment, create our own football leagues or basketball leagues or baseball leagues or boxing leagues, any sports. We don't have to deal with
especially
them,
when
you know.
Say
that again, Elder?
Especially when the owners lock them up.
Right.
Like they got a baseball lockout right now. They did have a basketball lockout. They had a football lockout. When them owners locked them out, especially the basketball players, like, yo, we're going to start a league of our own, yo.
Right.
Fans ain't coming to see the owners.
Right. Yep.
But that's Babylon. Coliseum games. Big men, grown men playing little boys' games.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors.
I agree with you on that, Jay. All right, y'all.
I was going to say this right quick before we get our study. Yes, he is suspended.
For how long?
So it is for the whole season.
Wow. What about the white boy?
Nothing happened to him.
Of course
not. That.
All right. It's to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So turn to 37, everybody, of Isaiah. That's when King Hezekiah was informed as to what was going on that wall and his response to it.
Mm-hmm.
When King Hezekiah heard this, he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went to the house of the Elohim. He also sent Helakim, who was in charge of the palace, and Shipna, the scribe, and the senior priest covered with sackcloth to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. And they said to him, thus say King Hezekiah, this is a day of distress, of chastisement, and of disgrace. The babes have reached the birth stool, but the strength to give birth is lacking. Perhaps the Elohim, perhaps Yah, your Elohim, would take note of the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to blaspheme the living Yah, and would met our judgment for the words that Yah, your Elohim, have heard. If you will offer prayers for this fiery remnant, when King Hezekiah ministers came to Isaiah. Isaiah said to them, tell your master this, King Hezekiah. Thus said Yah, do not be frightened by the words of blasphemy against me that you've heard from the minions of the king of Assyria. I would elude him. He would hear a rumor and return to his land. And I will make him fall by the sword in his land. The Rabshakeh, meanwhile, heard that the king had left Lachish. And he turned back and found the king of Assyria attacking Libna. But the king of Assyria had learned that the king of Tahaka of Nubia had come out to fight him. And when he heard it, he sent message to King Hezekiah, saying, to King Hezekiah of Judea, do not let your God on whom you are relying mislead you into thinking that Jerusalem will not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. You yourself have heard what the king of Assyria has done to all the lands, how they have alienated them. And can you escape? Will the nations that my predecessors destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and Beth the Dinites, and Teslar, saved by their gods? Where's the king of Hamath? And the king of Arpad? And the kings of Lyre, Sepharim, Hena, Ava? King Hezekiah received a letter from the messengers and read it. King Hezekiah then went up to the house of the Elohim. That's what we all should be doing. And spread it out before the Elohim. He spread the letter out. And King Hezekiah prayed to the Elohim. O Elohim of hosts, enthroned on the cherubim, you alone are Yah of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. O Yah, incline your ear and hear. Open your eye and see. Hear the words that Shapnachar Shirim has sent to blaspheme the living God. True, O Yah, the kings of Assyria has annihilated all the nations in their lands and have committed their gods to the flames and destroyed them. For they are not gods, but man's handiwork of wood and stone. But now, O Elohim, Yah, deliver us from his hands, and let all the kings of earth know that you, O Yah, alone are Elohim. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent this message to King Hezekiah. Thus said the Elohim, thus said Yah, the Elohim of Israel, to whom, and he knew he had prayed, to whom you have prayed concerning King Shapnachar of Assyria. This is the word that Yah has spoken concerning him. Fair maiden, Zion despises you. She mocks at you. Fair Jerusalem shakes her head at you. Whom you have blasphemed, whom have you blasphemed and reviled? Against whom made loud your voice and haughtily raise your eyes? Not against them, but against the Holy One of Israel. Through your servants, you have blasphemed my Elohim, because you thought to your vast chariotry, to your army, it is I who have climbed the highest mountains to the remotest part of Lebanon and have cut down its loftiest cedars, its choicest cypress. And I, talking about a man, have reached its highest peak. It is I who have drawn and and drunk water. I have dried up with the soles of my feet all the streams of misery. Have you not heard of old? I planted that very thing. I designed it long ago. Now I have fulfilled it. And it's come to pass. Laying fortified towns waste in desolate heaps. The inhabitants are helpless, dismayed and shamed. They were but grass of the field and green herbage. Grass of the root that is blasted before the east wind. I know your stains, your goings and comings, which you have raised against me. Talk about the king of Assyria. Because you have raised against me and your tumult has reached my ears, I will place my hook in your nose, my bit between your jaws. I'm going to run you. I will make you go back by the road by which you came. And this is a sign for you. This year, you eat what grows of itself. And the next year, what springs from that. In the third year, sow and reap. And plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And the survivors of the house of Yehuda that escaped shall renew its trunk below, produce broth above. For a remnant shall come forth from Jerusalem, survivors from Mount Zion. The zeal of the hosts of Yah shall bring this pass. Surely thus said Yah concerning the king of Assyria, you shall not enter this city. You shall not shoot an arrow at it or advance upon it with a shield or pile up a siege mount against it. He shall go back by the way he came, and he shall not enter this city, declares the Elohim. I will protect and save this city for my sake, for the sake of my servant, King David. That very night, an angel of Yah went out and struck down 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. In the following morning, they were all dead corpses. King Shanachar of Assyria broke camp and retreated. So that King Shanachar of Assyria broke camp as a result and retreated and stayed in Nineveh while he was worshiping his God in the temple of the god Nisra. He was struck down with spores by his very own sons, Adramelech and Sharezer, and they fled to the land of Akrak, where the ark of, what is that boat that Noah made, came to rest on that mount in the land of Akrak.
That boat was a boat.
What was it, say, Katriel?
Okay. That boat was an ark, and it's in
the ark.
Mount Ararat.
Right.
Oh, really?
You're right. Mm-hmm. And his son, Esarhaddon, succeeded him as king. Here's what I gathered before I pass the torch on. King Hezekiah went by cold. He didn't lean to his own understanding. He humbled himself. He sent a message to Isaiah, the son of Amos, to intercede for him in the Most High regard. The king of Assyria was arrogant, boastful, and had total disrespect for the Most High. And even when he received the message from King Sennacherib of Assyria, King Hezekiah placed this message before the Most High. In prayer, he spread it out. See, Yah, you see what he said? And so Yah said, I didn't do it for King Hezekiah. I didn't do it for the Hebrew Israelites. I did it because you test me. You try me. You try to make me like I'm like the other gods. I'm not like other gods. I am the Almighty. I am the Father. I'm the creator of all nations, even your very own. So I'm going to put a hook in your nose and a bridle in your mouth. a hook and a nose to a fish, he can't get away. A bridle to a horse or a donkey, you got to go wherever I tell you to go, whenever I tell you to go, and get there fast if I tell you to get there. And so this one angel came as a result of a response to the Most High. One angel. It struck down 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. And what did this king do? He broke camp. He ran, but he couldn't hide. His own son's hands came against him and struck him down while he worshiped his false idol. Put your trust in the Most High. Get codified. Learn to humble yourself. Learn to go to the Most High. As in the case of King Hezekiah. As the case of King Dawood. We firmly suggest you do the very same thing in all matters, in any matter. Praise the Almighty. Praise the Father. And bless his holy name. Cartier, Soshihudi, and Ezekiel. May the Most High bless you. And direct and order your steps. You have the mic.
Yes, I want me to go first as usual.
you know how to throw us to the wolves, brother.
No, we don't.
Otherwise, we'll be crickets for a little while. But anyway, these nations that we're talking about, we're reading actual history. This is not religion. This is not mythology. You could actually look up the king of Assyria. Right? What's his name? Sennacherib. You can actually look up the Ethiopian king, Tarhaka. Yours says king of Nubia. My book says king of Kush, which is Ethiopia.
Right. Mine says Kush.
And the fact that King Hezekiah followed the right codifications to get the victory over such a powerful empire, because the Assyrian nation was an empire. His messenger, Sennacherib's messenger, Rabshakeh, is talking about all the victories that Assyria had against all these nations, and their gods didn't do anything to stop their advance. And who is your God that he would stop our advance? So don't even believe that the God of Israel is going to stop my advance. And Yah took that personally. He's like, hold up, what my man say? Okay. So this is what Yah's answer to all that bluff and fluff that King Sennacherib sent Rabshakeh to say. She has shown contempt for you and derided you, the virgin daughter of Zion. That's a violation. You talk about my people. The daughters of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind you. Whom have you taunted and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily raised your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel? Yeah, I got jokes. To your servant, you have taunted Yah, and you have said, with my many chariots, I have come to the heights of the mountain. Oh, with your chariots, you're going to defeat Yehuda. To the remotest parts of Lebanon, I'll cut them down, its tall cedars and its choice vinipers, and I will come to its highest peak, its thickest forests. I dug wells and drank waters. At the sole of my feet, I dried up all the canals of Egypt. This is the Most High talking. Have you not heard, Sennacherib? Rabshakeh, long ago I did it. From ancient times I planned it. Now I have brought it about. That's so key right here, because how many things have Yah planned from ancient times that he has brought about, or that he's about to bring about?
He said, okay. I brought it to pass, yeah.
That's right.
Guess he didn't get the memo.
There you go. Haven't you heard? A lot of people haven't heard. That you would turn fortified cities into ruined heap. That's coming too. Therefore, the inhabitants are powerless. They were shattered and put to shame. They were like the vegetation of the field of the grass. So, Yah, don't play. When he put forth his word, when he executes his plan, it's going to come to pass. And a future reference is in the 30th verse. Then this shall be a sign for you. You will eat this year what grows of itself, and the second year what grows from the same. In the third year, so harvest plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The survivors that are left of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem a remnant shall go, and out of Mount Zion survivors the zeal of Yah's army will perform this. So the king of Assyria is in trouble. Not an arrow was shot. Not a sword was raised. Not a knife was used. It's reminiscent of what he did to the ancient Egyptians when he sent the prophet Moses, Aaron, and Miriam against Pharaoh. Not an arrow was fired. Not a sword was lifted. We walked out of Egypt without war. And y'all could do the same thing. So we have to fear these great and mighty nations that boast of themselves and blaspheme Yah and disrespect us. Yah fights our battles for us. All he sent was one angel. We don't even know how many angels Yah had. And the one angel struck down 185,000 overnight. Woo-wee! My Lord, what kind of angel is that?
Cartrio, can I ask you something?
Yes, ma'am.
Where's the verse that says he does it for his servant, King David?
Right, 35. I meant to bring that out, too. Why didn't he do it for King Hezekiah? Right?
He said,
I will protect this city.
Is, but I was looking for it. For I defend the city to save
for my sake, because you won't save me.
Mm-hmm. For his own sake and for my servant David.
So it shows you the Most High always has his servant King David on his mind and in his heart, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. There it is. I'm looking for it. That's one of the main things. Isn't that something?
You caught that. I wanted to bring that too, but I skipped right over it for some reason.
Shame.
at least you didn't hear no crickets.
That's why we need all hands on deck.
Well, listen. Go to Bing. Go to Google Images. Type in Tarhaka. Type in Sennacherib. Type in what the Assyrians look like. You talking about curly-haired dudes with afro beards. These dudes were vicious. They was impaling our people on poles and cutting their heads off in the war on Lachish. Look up Lachish. Ooh, you got to see those images. They don't look like Jewish European rabbis and whatnot. They don't.
Oh, no.
And you're talking about the Asiatic black man, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, who come from the line of Shem.
Mm-hmm.
But this is history they don't teach, right?
Nope, they don't. These are people of color, but they come from different nations that are fighting against Israel. Yep.
And one another.
It has nothing to do with the Ashkenazi, Turkish, Jewish people. Nothing.
And them Assyrians, they were like fierce dudes, man. The Persians were fierce. The Babylonians were fierce. But they said the Assyrians were super brutal.
Oh, I believe it. I've read some things about them. They were horrible.
They show in the reliefs, if you look at the reliefs that they show, which they have in, like, the British Museum. You know, you got to pay big money to get in there to see these relics. But these relics show that the Assyrians had the ability to swim underwater with air tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about ancient times.
Right. But they had a device, one of the islanders, that had a device, a very simple device where they can where it holds air while they were diving for pearls, clams, and fish and things like that. Back in the day, the midwives could deliver a baby that was breached, which the European babies kept dying, and they had to come over to find out what's going on. I saw my baby's dying. It's like in Moshe's day.
And unfortunately, our people don't learn this ancient history about ourselves. This is Black History Month, February, the shortest month in the year. And as far back as they go, they don't even go back to the slave ships.
Yep, and I tell people, or share with them. All right, I'm trying to get that word out. Tell, share. They're willing to listen.
Yeah. Pretty much. Oh, go ahead, sis.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, pretty much what I, you know, it always goes back, how it's taken back to the Torah. The law that we must do is fear the Most High, period. That's the only power that we're supposed to fear is just him. So with all this being said, and no matter how strong these other nations may be, or, you know, they may be frightful, it's not to be arrogant, but we're supposed to look at these cats like, okay, whatever, you know, because we got our power on our side, you know, and at any given moment, you know, just as it's shown that the angel that he sent, like I said, chopped up their whole army, and then, or at least a portion of their army, and then, you know, had his own son kill him and things like that. It's just like, man, you know, that's what I was saying. You know, I guess he didn't get the memo of how great our L is, our power is, you know. So the arrogance,
king.
Even in... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And it just shows how arrogant they are. And, you know, they want to fix their lip to talk about, you know, our power and stuff. So it's like Elder Crashrail said, oh, that's what you're talking about? That's what you're saying? Okay, I got you. Hold on 1 second. Uno momento. Hold on. Yep, and here it is. It's just, like I said, the arrogance is still to this day that our, you know, these other nations, they look at us like that, you know, and the way they treat us and so forth and so on. Heck, even the dictator, or, you know, Hitler knew who we were. You know, he knew exactly who we were. That's why he was trying to tell our people not to even serve in the world wars. You know, Vietnamese, so forth and so on. You know, but, yeah, we're supposed to only be fair in the Most High. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I got to say on that.
Yeah, our problem is that we don't know the codes like King Hezekiah knew the codifications, because he definitely followed the codes. He waited for Yah, right? Number one.
Yeah.
He didn't lean on his own understanding, number two, did he?
Nope.
He waited for the prophet Isaiah to give him word from Yah, number three, didn't he?
Yep.
And before he did that, he tore his own clothes, the king's royal clothes, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and prayed to the Most High, right? Before he did anything. Then he told his men not to say anything to enemy, no matter what they said. And these days and times, we wanna, you know, get back. We wanna strike back. Whatever they say, we got something to say. Sometimes you gotta be quiet.
Right.
Y'all speak to us.
Right. Be still.
Be quiet. Don't say nothing. Let y'all do the speaking for us.
Yep.
Like Big Joe McGraw said, I'll do the thinning around here, Bobby Lou. And Yah is our commander, our chief, our king, our father, our protector, our savior. He said, I protect the city. The Israelites wasn't ready. Matter of fact, they was boasting to the Israelites. If we gave y'all 2,000 horses, y'all couldn't even man the horses to even use them to fight us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure them brothers wanted to say, yo, we don't need like 1,000 horses. All we need somebody like Shimshon to step to y'all.
Man.
But
yeah.
The Most High took control of the situation. And he is our defense. He's our defender. And again, I have to reiterate, Yah says, haven't you heard long ago? I did it from ancient times. I planned it. Now I brought it about that you would turn fortified cities into ruined heaps. So we know Yah got a plan. And we're studying this master plan. And we better know all the details. Right, all the codifications that brings Yah to our defense, Yah willing to rescue us because our hearts and our path is right. Fortunately, King Hezekiah, he did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I have another question. So I get the proverb. I'm pronouncing this right in Hebrew. The proverbs mean Matel M-A-S-H-A-L. That's him. You know anything about that, Fakir? Are you thinking?
I think it's a composition of the song. They describe it as a maskil.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I'm not sure, but I'll research it.
Yeah, but it also it states that it means the proverb represents common sense and wisdom expressed.
Right. Common sense. Proverbs. Positive words.
Diversity of subject as knowledge, morality, friendship, justice. And then, of course, they talk about laziness, as you said. An ethical regulation of effective living, how to live. I just thought to share some of the history. I think we're going to talk about the history. Like we were talking about, Pastor, the history of things that you read. And then it's up to the person to do the research.
Your phone sounds a little muffled. I don't know why I can't understand what you're saying.
Okay. It's up to us to do the research. When we give a little information, like you said, you had a point. This is supposed to be so-called Black history. We should know about our history, which this is our history book. This is our history. Right?
Absolutely.
Can I feel okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So all these great empires, Babylon, Assyria, Media, Persia, are not taught in Western institutions. So Western institutions teach you about the Greek and the Romans and how they civilized Western people. However, greater civilizations existed before the Greeks and the Romans. And you look down on the descendants of those great empires because they've fallen from their great status that they had in the past. So now you have the power to define everything. And when you show images of the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Medes and the Persian, you take them out of their image so people see them out of context. Because they're not showing the Assyrians and Persians the way they really look, according to the monuments and the reliefs that they found.
Right.
Right.
Because I learned about my history, or the history of the nation that I belong to, gives you a sense of belonging, gives you a sense of empowerment. Even though I love history, I like doing research. I used to work at a university. That's what we did, research in a behavioral lab. And, you know, once you know who you are, regardless what else you learn about Europeans or anything in those, it's not going to have such a great impact. Well, because we live in the first world, which I've explained to young people, first know who you are, then get to other stuff. That's why I'm just interested in what these governments are doing, for example, in over there in Europe now, who are interested in it. But as far as my identification is Israel. And I always do the research when it's talk about our people, good, better, and different. And that's what I try to instill when my children were young and whomever want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Our history, our heritage.
Well, they're going to keep it hidden for as long as they can. It will be suppressed, even though it's right in front of your face. Right? So our people don't look at the book of Isaiah as a history book, but it's a prophetic book and a history book. We're learning about Isaiah's role in the history of our nation when the Assyrian nation was going to attack what was left of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Judah.
Right. And no, he didn't let that happen.
So they want to teach that history because that history is mystical. That angel came in there and slew 180,000 Assyrian warriors and had them turning around with their tails between their legs.
Because, you know, the good information is out there. You just have to know where to look. And we need to pass down information to our people. And, of course, it's their choice that they want to look. And I noticed, it's like the early days, they had depictions and drawings of people, our people and the people around were of color. There's no way. Even as scholars didn't know that. They're like, what?
So the people of India are not the only Asiatic black people.
Right.
You dig deeper into the history, you'll find out that the Babylonians, the Syrians, the Medes, and the Persians, most Semitic nations were Asiatic black people.
Mm-hmm.
So we say Ham is black. No, Ham is not just the only black person on the earth. If you look
right.
at these images, you'll see some of them are darker than even Ham.
That's why I said race is a construct, not real. It's something that man made up.
Exactly.
To
divide and conquer.
Right, because you know yourself, if everybody look alike in a nation, they have strength. It's strength in unity, isn't it?
Well, everybody that knows their ethnicity, nationality, heritage, and culture and land, yes.
Yeah. Right.
But if you're lost in the woods, you don't know who you are, you just got a state of amnesia, you're vulnerable to everybody who knows their ethnicity, culture, history, language, roots, and history. You just out there,
that's
you have nothing uh-huh. to ground you.
That's
which
true.
Is what the state and condition of our people.
Mm-hmm.
So we identify ourselves after religion. We tell them about we African American. And I hate to hear educated PhD continue to call our people black.
Mm-hmm.
Black people in America, black history, black. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Come on now listen to this.
You guys
they
are smarter
to,
than it.
Right. They have
supposed to be.
1969, I'll say it briefly, the Soul Festival, whatever, in Harlem, over 300,000 people, as they said, 50,000, whatever. And they tried to sell it. At the same time, it was Woodstock. We know all about Woodstock. Now, even though they said black, that was a turning point, starting to be aware of who we are. But we utilize the stigma of a color instead of a nationality. We just didn't continue. Few of us did. We realized, no, we ain't black, we Israel. See? But it was interesting that even in the era of us starting calling us black, they still would not publicize this unity. It was no fighting, no arguing. Music brought us together. That's our heritage. I said from 69 to now, and I agree with you, people who have the PhDs and so intellectual, I said, if a 4-year-old can tell me, Grandma, I'm not black, why is it that you 65 with masters and PhDs and say black? I don't get it. Something wrong with you. They say
mm-hmm.
miles of a baby.
But
okay.
It shows you how lovely you are. For us to continue to call ourselves black when there's no land, language, culture, history of black, but you're going to make a black history and it's limited to our experience in America and you don't want to go any further, it shows you that we're brain locked in captivity.
More so than a lot of us that are our ancestors, are people that are scattered. Because even though you got us in Jamaica, they have a long history in Haiti. And I explained, I said, stop putting emotional and look at the history of these places in Madagascar, even parts of Africa that we call Africa. They could tell you things that you don't know nothing about. See, and I read up in the 90s about the Limba, and now they're bringing it up again. And this is supposedly 2022. So we got a long way to go. Anyway, do we want to start Proverbs?
Yes, we've about beat that dead horse. So may the Most High bless you. So we're ready for Proverbs.
Okay, I'm at 28.
Yeah.
Okay, 28. I got two versions in front of me. The wrong, wait a minute. The wrong shall flee, so no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
That's the holy bonus when you walk in.
Wait a minute.
Righteousness.
Okay, because. Is that the whole, is that a, not like the light. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's a period.
If you walk the path of wickedness, you're always looking over your shoulder.
Right.
But if you walk in confidence in the way the Most High told us, according to the codification, you should be as bold as the lion. You should have no fear.
Because the transgression of a land, many are its rulers. But by a man standing in knowledge, right is maintained. Wait a minute.
That shows the nature of the world. America got this land by wrongdoing, didn't it?
Uh-huh.
And it has many, many leaders that want to be head of it, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Someone got to pay for the wrongdoing that has been done.
A poor man who oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain that leaves no food. He's oppressing the poor and he's poor. Oh, yeah, we see that a lot.
Called Bill Gates, right?
Right. Those who forsake the teaching praise the wrong. Those who guard the thing strive with them.
So it's always a battle. Can't sit back on your laurels.
I'm thinking about when I read this to church. Evil men do not understand right ruling, but those who seek Yah understand all. Isn't that good? Here's an insight.
Yes. So wisdom leads us to seeking
Yah. Right. But those who better is the poor who walks in his integrity, we read that before, than one than one perversive in his ways, who is rich. You read that news. And you see it all the time. Every time you turn around, it's somebody in politics and did something illegal. Or people in general. We got a problem with people shooting children, you know? Oh, it's just crazy.
Well, America is a classic example of that.
Yep.
Yeah, five is so important. Evil people do not understand justice. We cry for justice from evil people, aren't we?
You better believe it.
But those who seek Yah understand everything. We understand you can't get no justice from evil people. That's what you should understand.
Codification.
Now here,
so we know they're evil because their system is unjust. We know they're evil because their system is unjust. We saw it almost every day. Young teenage brother protecting somebody who was being harassed, but they throw him down on the ground, put him in handcuffs. No justice.
Young brother Dante Wright shot on a traffic stop, and the brother that killed the white woman. He was a police officer too, in Minneapolis. He got 10 years. She gets 2 years.
Yeah, that's why I say we're gonna keep talking about it until it changes. The law is not for everybody. It's pick and choose.
Evil people do not understand justice.
No, they don't. They don't. You said it. That should be a good problem. Number 7. This one, I'm going to read this and third. Whosoever keeps the law is a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men shame his father. He who increases.
Gang bangers, and so on and so forth, drug dealers and so on and so forth, murders, thieves, so on and so forth.
People that's chasing the almighty dollar.
So on and so forth.
The money god.
Mm-hmm.
See, he who increases his possessions by interest and profit gathers it for him who shows favor to the poor.
Yes.
Well, pity the
so
poor,
you're gathering
yeah.
interest.
Mm-hmm.
You're gathering interest. You should use it for poor people, not for yourself.
He that runs away, he who turns away his ear from hearing the teaching, even his prayer is an abomination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How are you going to not want to know what Yah requires of us, and then you're going to pray to him? But you don't want to hear what he has to say. How are you going to pray to Yah, but you don't want to hear what he has to say?
Or follow right.
what he's instructing us to do.
Right. And it's another thing, and I think about the churches. Whoever calls the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that has understanding search them out.
Now it reads, the rich person is wise in his own eyes, but the poor person who has understanding sees through him.
That's why we see through Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
Oh, I missed that one.
Anybody else that's rich that's not doing justice or justly or kindly or righteously with their wealth?
Oh, let me go back to number 10. I think I missed something. He who causes the straight to go astray in an evil way falls into his own pit, but the perfect inherit the good. I guess I said it. That was number 10. Number 12. When the righteous exalt, there is great calmness. But when the wrong arise, a man is searched for.
Mine read, when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. Righteous men do. In the case of Donald J. Trump, in the case of Vladimir Putin, who just invaded Ukraine as we speak.
Because it says here, when a righteous man do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. You reading same thing, 12?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. As long as we got the same meaning, and it's good that we're giving that type of analogy, you know, when we read, because it gives a broader sense, a better, maybe a deeper understanding, hopefully. Mm-hmm. 13. He who hides his transgressions does not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them finds compassion. We shall have mercy. In this case, we shall have mercy.
And that's what King David. That's what King David understood.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really conceal your wrongdoings from the Most High?
No.
And when you confess, that means you're not holding on to your wrongdoings. Someone who's trying to conceal it, who thinks they can conceal it, who thinks they can hide it from the Most High, is going to keep on doing it because they think they can hide it from the Most High.
That's true. Blessed is the
but
man
who
always
confesses and abandons them, You have to abandon mm-hmm. your actions. Them will find compassion. It's not just confession. You take an action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Abandoning what? Your wrongdoings. The one who confesses his wrongdoing and abandons what? His wrongdoings, then they will find compassion. So you trying to conceal it, that means you're not abandoning it. Right?
Right.
Trying to hide it.
I got two different verses. I like this one from the scripture. Number 14, where it says, blessed is the man who always fears Elohim, but he who hardens his heart falls into evil.
Mm-hmm. Mine doesn't say Elohim, but
uh-huh.
it implies, blessed is he, how blessed is the person who fears uh-huh. always. You have to always fear Yah, reverence Yah, uh-huh. respect and honor Yah. But one who hardens his heart against Yah will fall into disaster. Why are you hardening uh-huh. your heart against your Creator? Because you want to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, because you're leaning on your own understanding.
Help.
And it is not working for you, and it is not cute.
What do you say? Disaster. When Most High plan things, when he tells you things, guess what? It's going to happen.
Hmm. Anybody? 15. A roaring lion and a charging bear is a wrongdoing ruler over poor people.
Vladimir Putin. He considers himself the bear, the Russian bear.
The big bear, the leader.
He's rushing into Ukraine as we speak. Vladimir the bear.
Yeah, because this is him. In 16, a leader who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but the hater of greed prolongs his days. If I'm a hater of greed, it prolongs my days. But he looks weird anyway. I know why he looks the way he looks. Because the Mongoloid for a while did invade Russia. And they intermarried. That's why they look weird. I'm serious. This is not this fact.
Anyway. In my book, definitely applies to Vladimir Putin. This is a leader who is a great oppressor, lacks understanding, but a uh-huh. person who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. So uh-huh. he's trying to get unjust gain by going into Ukraine. Why do that? Why not just
but
do
that,
business with them, commerce
yeah,
with
but,
them?
Yeah, but my thing, but the hater of greed prolongs
yeah.
his day.
Same thing.
If you hate
he who hates unjust gain.
Okay, gotcha. I gotcha. A man oppressed by blood guilt flees into a pit. Let no one help him. You read 17.
A person who is burdened with the guilt of human blood
uh-huh.
will be a fugitive until death. No one is to support him. Vladimir Putin. You want to spill
let
human
no
blood.
One help. Mm-hmm.
And your brother's out there shooting people for no reason.
Oh yeah. Shot a child three times in the head, a 5-year-old.
Oh Lord.
You're a fugitive until death if you murder somebody. So
mm-hmm.
death. Judgment
mm-hmm.
comes after the death, because that judgment day is coming. Is your soul live forever or are you going to Sheol?
I don't want to see
hole.
Mm-hmm. 18. He who walks blamelessly is saved, but the perverted of ways falls at once.
It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. They fall at once.
Oh, my God.
And them dudes is real crooked in their ways.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize what they're playing with.
Ooh, this is a good one, 19. He who tills his land is satisfied with bread, but he who pursues vanities is filled with poverty.
That sounds like living on a farm versus running around in the cities.
Yeah.
And that's what Yah created man for, right? To work the land, didn't he? He said, till the ground, Adam, work by the sweat of your brow. That's how you're going to feed yourself. And we must feed ourselves sooner or later.
A man of truth has many blessings, but one in a hurry to be rich does not go unpunished.
It's in the money God.
Because here it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. That's the other version. The same.
Faithful to who?
Hmm?
Faithful to who?
Who's faithful? I didn't say nothing about faithful. Oh, you're talking about the... Oh, I'm sorry. Abound with a man... Wait a minute. Okay, let me look at this 20. Because it says
a
man of truth. A man of truth has many blessings. This
right.
is a better
rendition. You want the path of truth?
Mm-hmm.
Mine says a faithful person will abound with blessings. That doesn't mm-hmm. mean that he always has it, but at some point in his life, he will get it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this one. Because I see people do that sometimes. I've done it in the past. 21. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread, a man would transgress. Hmm. A man with an evil eye runs after wealth and does not know that poverty awaits him. See, I'm thinking not just the carnal thing, but also spiritual. This is just me. Could be wrong. That the people that have a lot of money, I feel more sorry for them than the poor people, than the people that don't hardly have any money. Because good people, for whatever reasons, that they're not, and I ain't talking about the drugs and all that. I'm just talking about hardworking people of good nature, but they fall on hard times and they're homeless. And they will help somebody out quicker than someone that's making 4 or 5 million, billions dollars, you know. They pick and choose. But because they're down there and they know how it is, they're going to help somebody else.
Well, we live in America. And America is dead with debt. People with the jungle. And most people that have wealth, they're kind of heartless and ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's trying to get that wealth in America. So they tend
mm-hmm.
to lose their morals.
Mm-hmm. See, they got it twisted. Because we know, the Most High didn't say you can't have wealth. But he knows wealth can corrupt you. You just said it can corrupt you. Especially if the system, the governmental system, allow it. In Yah's law, it does not allow it.
Right.
And it's not.
And I've
social.
Seen
mm-hmm.
many investigation ID stories where spouses get that insurance money up to like 2, 3, 4, 5 million and then commit to murdering to get that insurance money just to get the wealth. Or
and
somebody marries a wealthy partner and kills them to put them as an inheritor of the wealth or business, whatever they got. Plenty of that goes on in America.
Can I read 22? I must have read that.
Yeah.
A man. Okay. 23. He who reproves a man finds more favor afterwards than he who flatters with the tongue, which is cool.
Well, you know what? You got to tell a person what they need to know instead of what they want to know. We have a tendency to tell people what they want to hear versus in what they need to know. Because what they need to know is going to hurt them, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree with you. And in my younger days, now, no way. Not going to happen, Captain.
That's your friends telling you how you really look, right? Mm-hmm. You come out, you think you fly, and you got a booger in your nose. And your friend going to tell you, yo, you should have came out, blew your nose, picked yourself up a little better. You might feel away because you said that. But somebody else going to see that booger in your nose and say, oh, you look good. I, go ahead, man, with yourself. Chilling it.
Right.
So it's better to take rebuke because somebody's trying to help you out.
Right. 24, he who robs his father or his mother and says, it is no transgression. And you say it's no transgression? Really? Yeah, there are people like that.
You didn't finish it.
I see now. It's the way these words. He is a companion to a destroyer. He is.
Ain't no good.
I've known people rob their parents.
Ooh. I've done it. I had to confess to Yah and stop it. My mother used to have a quarter job. I used to sneak in that quarter job and act like it wasn't nothing. No, brother. And I read this proverb.
I think all children go through that. My dad specifically, because he liked to put change on the Tesla drawer, call it. And I like change. It was just, you know. And if they asked me, don't touch it. My mother was different. I don't know what I was doing, but she had, like, they call high socks. And I was looking for something, and I saw all this change. And I didn't know that this money, this coins could have been worth something. She got mad because I got on punishment. I never did it again.
Yeah, my mother used to put quarters in that big water jar. Mm-hmm. And I used to dip in there, you know, thinking it was nothing. But if you keep that up, then you develop a bad habit, taking money from your mother like it ain't nothing. So I felt bad. Like, yeah, gotta stop this.
I would.
You gotta be.
He who is greedy stirs up strife, but he who trusts in Yah prospers. I love that. You have so much peace. He's come upon you and so much clarity. And you're slow to get angry. And you see the foolishness. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who walks wisely is delivered.
He who walks according to codification.
Okay. I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
27. He who gives to the poor does not lack, but he who hides his eyes does have many curses. That's what I was talking about. Give to the poor. All right.
It's better to give than receive.
I wrote out a post. Well, I got it from somebody, and it stated, people who help other people that are struggling, it's called love. Otherwise, I'm struggling, you're struggling, but I help you out, it's love.
So all these wealthy people have no love for their people, do they?
Mm-mm. Especially our
people. They should be helping the poor people out, our people.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a chain reaction. It stays in the community, and that's how a community builds.
So in our community, we got poor people trying to help poor people because the rich people ain't around.
Mm-mm. The grassroots people.
Mm-hmm. And they ain't wealthy. They're not rich. They're struggling like everybody else. But the fact that they give of themselves service, they give what they can, they're always there as pillars and strength in our community. And most of them are not rich or wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is what we do. I know I've done it separately, but even as a nation, and we live in a nation like this, 25. When the wrong rise up, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increases.
I mean, wicked people got to die. So that the righteous can increase.
That was a good chapter. I'm proud of us. Thank you. Thank you, Moses. I give him the credit. I give you the credit for putting in us the righteousness of interpreting these proverbs and helping people break it down where it doesn't seem so foreign. And it, I cried to my grandmother. I was always close, like my mother. Whew. And I used to cry to her because I didn't understand the scriptures. It seemed foreign to me. I guess the Most High shut me off from them. I was so distraught, and she came to me and said, "Honey, one day you're going to understand the scriptures, and when you do, you know they're talking about us. Won't you mind? You was a wise woman. She was right.
Prophetic.
Huh?
Said she was prophetic, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. With a fourth grade education.
Probably know what she was talking about at the time.
No, she did. She did.
I'm talking about
she
you.
Had a,
didn't know what she was talking about when she told you what she told about the time.
But I could look back and say she's right.
So, Shorty, let's see what does Ezekiel
Hey, come on, y'all. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, always.
Okay. Yeah, here, just, I mean, in a nutshell, again, you know, us fearing the Most High is the first step. And it's for all the listeners and myself and anybody else. You know, us fearing the Most High, that's the first step of us becoming lions. Nothing, no fear of anything in this earth or that's in the so-called spirit realm or, you know, what's going on in the spirit or the carnal aspect. There's no fear. All the things that we need, the Most High, He is our protector, our provider, you know, our advisor, our leader, our teacher. All of these things all combined in one, and to give us understanding, to shine the light on us so we can get back in order. The more we start listening to what the Most High tells us to do, the more we kill off the wickedness. So therefore, the righteous increases, and that's the spiritual aspect, and then also the carnal. More wickedness in the material realm today is going to die off and things because of wickedness. And we see that on an everyday basis. Everything that we need, we don't need to chase after, you know, money and things like that because we know it's material. Yes, the Most High knows we need these things to function on this earth, but we do it righteously after following the Most High and be patient with Him and things. He'll give us all these things that our heart desires. And with that,
right.
You know, with that being said, knowing you sin, knowing your faults and stuff, you confess it to Him. You confess to one another your faults so we don't have issues against one another. We definitely don't need to have no issue with the Most High. And once you do that, therefore, like we say, you don't hold on to it anymore. It's gone. It's let go. You're changing the way you're repenting. The Most High is helping you take away your reproach. You know, all of these things will grow you in time, and therefore you become that righteous man, woman, child in His eyes. And not only that, the Most High will bless you with a good name on this earth amongst all the people of the world and things. So this is such, you know, consideration which you have to think about and reflect on the Most High daily. With yourself, you do that, you come out just fine. Prolong your day, so forth and so on. So get at it. Don't be idle. Don't sit idle.
Right.
Go after the Most High and continue to keep doing His work and His will, and you'll see all the things come to you. health, material things, protection, all those things that I named in the beginning. So that's all I got to say. Shalom.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. You know what? I was listening to you. And just like the Mosiah said, a fool is righteous in his own eyes. But a righteous man, a woman, is under codification. Everybody wants to be right. But a righteous man or woman wants to be righteous under codification. And if it makes me sound redundant for me to say that, because it's true.
God.
So she who
No, I was just gonna say, no, it's nothing about being redundant. You know, this is stuff that even the Most High always has to repeat this to us constantly. So until we, you know, we get it knocked in our head completely in our spirit, we have to keep saying this stuff over and over and over again. You know, so you got it, Elder.
Thank you, brother. So Shehudi, you have any closing remarks or comments on what you shared in your studies with us?
Yes, briefly. Ezekiel, we got to get together on what our subject going to be. And my thought was accountability. We also have to be accountability for our actions. That's the main thing. But we're going to get together. We're going to get on the phone and discuss, because these are important subjects, and hope that the people that are listening can get something out of it beneficially. Not everybody's going to get the same thing. Like when Cartrell said, oh, I looked over that. Well, that's why we're here. We can point it out. It's not an error, evidence, because you gave them. We all giving good information. We all have studies, but we're humbled enough to say we don't know it all. We're still striving. Now, certain subjects we may know more than somebody else, but that's okay, because I know it's up to me to search it out. I can agree with you because I know it's correct. And even I can disagree and search it out. But there's no emotion in it. There's no, you don't know what he's talking about. We don't have that. Because we're all learning. And I consider Cartrails is learned. We all are learning in our own way. So I hope this can edify people, bring them peace, searching, and my closing remarks is bless everybody that are listening, especially my brothers. I hope to hear from you, Kara, and I can't forget the gatekeeper.
There you are.
Yeah. Because she's
thank
very
you.
Instrumental. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Sister Yehudi. And laying back on what Sister Yehudi said. When you're unrighteous, it's a competitiveness. When you're under codification, it's not about competitiveness. It's about unification. Each one has a piece of the puzzle, and each one brings something to the table, and each one sharpens one another, as it should be. Cartier, what is your closing remarks, brother?
Wisdom tells us rebuke is good for people that are seeking wisdom. If you can't take rebuke, then you're not really trying to seek wisdom. The proverbs that we read are like a mirror into our souls. And how do we measure up according to the standard that the proverb is setting? So it's not about looking at others. It's about looking within yourself and finding within yourself these codifications, which become habits, because we walk in unrighteous paths, and it's so hard to get out of these paths that we set for ourselves. Proverbs helps us to get out of it and understand how the Most High teaches us how to walk uprightly and in righteousness. So that's being in harmony with Him, being in harmony with creation, and being in harmony with each other when you really start with yourself. So I look at it as a mirror that, you know, helps us to refine ourselves and walk better in this way that we know is the way that the Most High wants us to walk. So I'm going to leave it at that because it's so important for our people. This is really the medicine that we need because we're not getting it. I mean, you see, from examples of our history, King Hezekiah, he followed the right code and the Most High acted as he said he would for him. So can we spark Yah to act on our behalf when we have adversity? And our adversity ain't quite as much as what King Hezekiah was facing. But in the face of what he was facing, he followed the right code. Can we do the same thing that he did in our circumstances and in our situation? But we have to build ourselves up in that manner.
Hallelujah.
It's not easy.
Nope.
We read it and it sounds easy, but I know King Hezekiah was going through was not easy.
Right.
He saw what he was facing.
Yes. Thank you, Cartier. Lambacking on what Cartier said. Self-examination is the most difficult examination to do. But a lot of times, alluded to what Cartier said, if you can't take rebuke, most often you don't want to change. And you like the way you are. A fool is righteous in his own mind. And unfortunately, they don't want to accept rebuke. They don't want to do it, self-examination. And life is about self-examination. If you want to get better, you have to examine oneself. Take a moral inventory, as they said in Alcoholics Anonymous. Take a moral inventory. And what's on your step in your life? If it ain't selling, it ain't working. And you need to get rid of it. What's on the shelves in your life? If it ain't selling, it ain't working. And you need to get rid of it. Well, thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, Sister Yehudi. Thank you, Ezekiel. Thank you, fellow students, for joining with us to do an in-depth study of critical analysis and assessment of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Now that you know, it ain't on us no more. It's up to you. What you going to do with it? That's the question. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps so that you won't be a fool and continue to lead to your own understanding. It is not cute, and it is certainly not working for you. It's working on you. Get rid of it. Whatever is blocking your relationship with the Most High, get rid of it. You're not going to impress Kachi, or you're not going to impress Sushi, or you're not going to impress Z. You're certainly not going to impress me, whatever you do. But you certainly will, if you do the right thing, impress the Most High, and establish your relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and continue to let his footstep be your pathways. Well, we offer you parting gifts to help you facilitate this, which is a new heart and new spirit. You're going to need it, and you better believe it. So we ask you tonight, when you go lay down, face the east, ask the Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, for a new heart and spirit like King David, so he can order and direct your steps. So you can learn how to love yourself truly, and you can love your brothers and sisters, because it's virtually impossible to do that if you don't love what looks like you in the mirror. So, Israel, Sister Hoodie, Ezekiel, y'all have anything to say to be good night, shalom, see you, wouldn't want to be here.
May the Most High bless us and keep us. May he make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. May he lift his countenance upon us and give us peace. Visit our website, yahwehgather.us, and let's gather and give glory to the Most High's name. Hallelujah.
Praise
Yah.
Praise
Yah.
Praise Yah. Ezekiel?
Much love to you all, and everybody have a blessed rest tonight. Most High willing, see and hear from you guys and hear from us tomorrow morning. I mean, tomorrow evening. And continue to keep sharpening yourself and reflecting yourself with the Most High. Shalom.
Bless and praise.
Shalom.
All right. If anybody by chance is on Facebook, we have a post or a group called Elders in the Scriptures of Life. Check it out. Join it. It's a lot of good stuff in there. It's on Facebook, Elders in the Scriptures of Life. Hallelujah, and have a blessed and safe night.
Bless and praise the Most High. We love y'all. May the Most High continue to bless y'all. Thank you, Katria. Thank you, Sister Hootie. And thank you, Ezekiel. And thank you, other fellow investigators out there. Thank you, Sister Abby, the gatekeeper. We love you.
Yes.
May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. Her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.